What a blessing that is, and what a powerful truth, whosoever will. And isn't God good? I mean, think about it. Not only does He save us, but He allows us to enjoy the music that we've enjoyed here on this earth this morning. I trust that your soul has been ministered to, that your spirit's been ministered to this morning. He allows us to gather in a place like this and open up His Word. And what a powerful thing it is. And we praise the Lord. He's so good to us, and we certainly don't deserve any of that. I invite you to take your Bible and turn to Joshua chapter 4 this morning. Joshua chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 19 down through verse 24 of the passage here in Joshua. And once you found your place in your Bible, if you'd stand, if you're able to this morning, out of respect to the Lord's Word, Joshua chapter 4, verses 19 down through verse 24. And we have here the story of the children of Israel getting ready to go into the Promised Land, getting ready to cross over the Jordan River. And the Bible says in verse 19, "And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." And I want to read preach a message this morning entitled A Memorial to the Power of God. A Memorial to the Power of God. Let's pray and then you can be seated. Dear Lord, as we come before you this morning, we are thankful, Lord, and we have been blessed this morning. We've already enjoyed, Lord, the music here today. And what a blessing it's been to our hearts. And Lord, now I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we open up your word and as we study from it today. Lord, I need your help this morning as the deliverer of this message, Lord. And I pray that you would allow me to be used of you. Lord, and I pray for every person that has been faithful to gather in your house this morning. I pray that they would open up their hearts and hear the message from your word. And Lord, that we'd all leave a changed people. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. A memorial that was built from these 12 stones. I think we're all familiar with the ideas of a memorial, something that helps us to remember something in our lives. I think that we're all familiar with what today represents, September the 11th, 2016. It's hard to believe now that 15 years have passed. It boggles my mind from the day of those terrorist attacks and New York City and Washington and in Pennsylvania. And yet 15 years later, we look back, and certainly those in this room this morning that have a memory of that day, which would be most everyone outside of many of our teens and the team in the youth department. But I think those of us that have a memory or recollection of the day will never forget where we were when we heard the news. I remember I was just a junior in college, in Bible college, and I had come back from one of my morning classes and we had some time between a couple of classes, and I'd gone into the dorm room there. And I walked into someone's room and they were huddled around a radio listening to a broadcast. And I asked them what was going on, and they began to tell the news or share the stories of what they knew at that time. I don't know about you, but at that time it almost seemed like a joke. A hoax was going on, that this could not be happening in the country in which we lived. And I remember all of us probably went through the emotions of that day and wondering what was going to happen next, and as more details were released from that terrorist attack. And yet, what came as a result in the days to come of that, we began to hear some stories of some heroes. Some men and women who would have just thought they were going to work that morning in normal circumstances. Some first responders that maybe went in for their shift that day, that had no clue what that day would hold for them. We began to hear the stories of some heroes, Some people that laid their lives down so that other people could be saved. Some police officers, some firefighters that went into those buildings and abandoned their own life so that they could save somebody else's life. Began to hear about some men that were on a plane and had heard about how some other planes had been used as missiles and bombs to destroy buildings. And they were determined that their plane was not going to go down in that same way, and they said, we're going to do all we can to save some more lives. And as we think back at the time, certainly we think of the idea of memorials. And since that time, in many cities and many towns, memorials have been erected to remember the heroes of that day. I remember just a year after that, I was in New York City and happened to go to Ground Zero. And they had already started making a memorial there and just recently had completed that. And I suppose there's none greater memorial than that memorial that stands in New York City that has the names of those men and women that sacrificed and those men and women that were victims of that terror attack that day. And yet these memorials remind us of some of the positives from that day. They help us to remember, but they remind us of some people who were heroes that stood up and said, we're going to do all we can to save the lives of our fellow countrymen. They remind us, listen, of a country with a resolve to not be defeated by terrorism, but to do everything that we can to stand up and make sure something like that doesn't happen again on our soil. And yet on every year, on September 11th, we pause and we remember, don't we? We remember those that gave their lives. We memorialize those heroes, those men and women who truly are real heroes. I know this afternoon we'll watch some men run around a football field. And many times in our eyes, those are real heroes. But listen, these men and women, those that gave their lives, gave the ultimate sacrifice, certainly are heroes. Yeah. And we look at this passage and we are reminded again this morning of this idea of a memorial. Something that allows you to remember something that someone has done. And here in our passage, we see this memorial, God's instructions to Joshua. And we see here that he was to take these stones and to make a memorial of stones to help them remember what God had done for them. To help them to remember what God did there at the Jordan River. In fact, I want you to see, and we're going to read just a few passages here in the book of Joshua, but if you're familiar with this portion of Scripture, you're familiar with the idea that God had tasked Joshua with taking the children of Israel and leading them into the Promised Land. And the first obstacle that they would have to overcome was the mighty Jordan River. They would have to cross that Jordan River, and just on the other side of that Jordan River was the city of Jericho. And these were obstacles that lay in their way. And in fact, God had told the children of Israel that he would not just give them the land of the promised land, but that they would have to go in and fight for it, that they would have to defeat the enemy. And yet with God's power, they could do that. They could go in and defeat the enemy. So go back to Joshua in chapter 3 and verse 15. I want you to see what God did for them at the Jordan River. The Bible says, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. It's an incredible thing what God did here. He said, Joshua, send the men, the priests that are bearing the ark of the covenant, and send them into the rivers of the Jordan first. And the Bible tells us that as they took the ark of the covenant and they stepped down into that river, as soon as their feet hit the water, God did something miraculous. God took that water and he parted it right and left so that those priests, the Bible says, stood on dry ground right in the midst of that river. And the Bible says after that, the children of Israel, every one of them, clean passed over on dry ground that day. An incredible work of God, a miraculous work of his power. What a blessing that is. And then we look in chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in this lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And so after they were come across the Jordan, God came to Joshua and he said, now I want you to send 12 men back into the Jordan River. I believe the priests were still standing there and the water was still being held back and the ground was still dry. And they were told to grab one stone. One would be representative of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And they were to take those stones with them that night. And the place in Gilgal wherewith they would lodge that evening, they were to build a memorial of stones to the goodness of God, to help them to remember what God had done in that place. And so we see in verse 20, if you'll look over there, Joshua chapter 4 and verse 20. The Bible says there in verse 20, and those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And so Joshua did exactly what God had called him to do. He took those stones and he began to build this memorial. Now, I want you to understand something. There was a purpose given for the memorial of these 12 stones. Listen, this was not just a fine architectural building of stones so that people would come by and admire for years to come. No, there was so much more. There was a purpose behind this memorial of stones. In fact, look in verse 24 and you'll see the purpose of this memorial. The Bible says in verse 24 that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. This memorial of stones was to show everyone that the God of Israel was the almighty, all-powerful, true God of the whole earth. Amen. And so that those that would walk beside this memorial would realize that this was for God. This memorial pointed to the power of God. Listen, it was not to bring glory to the priest, although the priest, it's pretty incredible, they had faith to step down in the Jordan River. It's not a memorial to Joshua, although Joshua, again, obeying God and doing something very difficult. No, this was strictly for God Almighty, so that the earth, those living here on this earth, might know of His power. And yet we look at this memorial, as you will, or this dedication of this memorial that we just read here just a few moments ago as our text. And Joshua makes three statements concerning who would be impacted by this memorial. I want to go through these very quickly this morning. Notice, first of all, one group of people that would be affected or impacted by this memorial were the generations to come, the children yet to come of the children of Israel. Look in verse 20, or 21 rather. The Bible says, and he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? He says, children of Israel, you're obviously going to have more generations that are going to come. And they're going to come to you in time to come, and they're going to ask you, what's the purpose behind these stones? Why is this memorial? It's on just the on this side of Jordan River, right before where the city of Jericho used to stand. There's a memorial of 12 stones. Mom and Dad, what do those stones mean? Why are they there? He goes on to say in verse 22, then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. When your children shall ask in time to come, the next generations, I want you to understand something about this moment. Listen, this was a defining moment in the nation of Israel. This was the fulfilling of a promise that God had given them for quite some time. And in fact, they should have gone in 40 years earlier, but because of their own disbelief, they did not follow after God. And so some 40 years later, God is fulfilling a promise which he made to their forefathers a long time ago. And understand this. Here's what I want you to understand. Listen, this was not to be lost in the history of the children of Israel. This moment, the crossing of the Jordan, representative of going into the promised land, this was not to be forgotten. And understand this, the danger for those who weren't there to experience it, or maybe those who were too young to experience, remember holding their mommy and daddy's hands as they walked through the Jordan River, the danger is that they might either forget about God's goodness and his God's power at the Jordan River, or worse yet, they may never hear the story of this. You see, it was the parents' responsibility to keep God in front of their children. Yeah. The children of Israel, it was the parents' responsibility to pass along the goodness of God and the power of God to their children, because the next generation was going to need to know that there was a God that was full of power. The next generation needed to know that there was a God that could part the Jordan River. And I want you to understand something this morning. Listen, it's always been God's plan that parents would pass along to their children the gospel. It's always been God's plan. Listen, the Bible tells us to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm reminded this morning of the four children that God has entrusted to me and my wife. Listen, it is my responsibility as their father to keep the goodness and the power of God in front of them. I'm reminded that I ought to teach them. And I want to remind you this morning, if you have children or even grandchildren, the next generation that is coming up, listen, it's your responsibility to tell them of the goodness of God. It's your responsibility to keep the power of God before them. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want you to see what God gives us in Deuteronomy chapter 6 this morning. The Bible says in verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." Listen, it's our responsibility to take the word of the Lord and pass it along to the next generation. So that when they come and they see that memorial of stones that was there, and they say, "What mean these stones?" Those parents can look at their children and say, "Let me just tell you what God did. Let me just tell you of the power of God, and that if He's done it before, He certainly can do it in your life." Yeah. My great-grandfather, he passed away in the 70s. His name was Eberly Orlando Folger. Eberly Orlando. That's quite a name there. My brothers and I, we always talked about memorializing him by naming one of our children that name. And the wives always said, "No, it's not going to happen." But Eberly Orlando Folger, he was my great-grandfather. I never had the chance to meet him here on this earth. But I want to tell you, he's made a huge impact on my life. He's one of the reasons, honestly, that our family is in church today and serving the Lord today. In 1958, a Baptist preacher knocked on his door. He wasn't Baptist at the time. He was attending a Methodist church, not real happy with the church that he was in. But a Baptist preacher knocked on his door and he said, "I want to start a church." And my great-grandfather was renting the home that he was living in at the time. And the preacher came to him and said, "This would be a perfect location to start our church." And then he asked him, he said, "Would you consider moving out so I can start a church in your home?" He'd never met this man. That man must have had some type of charisma, because my great-grandfather agreed to this stranger to move out of his home and to allow him to start the Cleveland Baptist Church in his home. Not only did he allow him to do that, the very first Sunday he came to that church. And again, my great-grandfather wasn't Baptist, but he decided to come to that church. And listen, he found something different than what he had experienced at his church. And the very next week, he called my grandfather, who was raising my dad at the time. My dad was 9 months old. And he said, "Bob," he said, "there's something different about this preacher." He said, "There's something different about it. He opens up the Word of God and he preaches to us the Word of God." And he said, "You better get yourself to that church this next Sunday." And the very second Sunday of the church's existence, my grandfather and his wife and son and daughter came to that church. Here's what I want you to understand. Listen, my great-grandfather, he had never met this man. He wasn't a Baptist, but he knew the truth when he heard it. Regardless of his past, regardless of his preferences, he said, "There's something different about this man." He takes the Word of God and he opens it up. And listen, I want you to understand, he started attending that church, and by the way, encouraged his family to do so, and it's made a difference in our lives. It's made a huge difference, so much so that 5 generations later, listen, he has great-great-grandchildren in this church this morning serving the Lord, saved, knowing they're on their way to heaven because of a man they've never met. Here's what I want you to understand this morning. Listen, we will impact the next generation. When they look at our lives, listen, my grandpa, my great-grandfather, he didn't leave a lot of money. He wasn't famous. He wasn't wealthy, but he left a testimony. Amen. Listen, I mentioned to you, I've never met him, but I don't have to ask my dad, hey, was your grandfather, was he a Christian? Listen, these things I know because of the testimony that he's left to us. And listen, I want you to understand here this memorial that he gave to us, this memorial in the scriptures, when the next generation would ask, what mean these stones? The parents could say, let me tell you about the goodness of our God. And I want you to understand this morning, listen, if you're serving God and your children come to you and they say, Dad, why do we go to church on Sundays? Dad, why do you sacrifice for the Lord? That's a great opportunity to sit them down and say, let me tell you about the power of God in my life. Let me tell you about what God has done in my life and how he's impacted my life. And this is why we do this. And listen, let me tell you, we can rehearse the stories of God's goodness and his power. Amen. The generations to come were to be affected by this memorial. Secondly, this morning, I want you to see this memorial was not only for the generations to come, but it was for the world in general. Those living in the world at that time, look at verse 24. He says that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. Listen, this wasn't just for the children of Israel, this memorial of stones. Listen, this was so that the entire world at that time could see this memorial and they could realize that God is good and God is powerful. I want you to understand something this morning. Those inhabiting the promised land, those that were living there, especially those that were living in Jericho, because they were able to watch this whole thing take place right in front of them. Listen, they were put on notice that day who the true God of the earth is. They weren't able to see the true God of the earth. Listen, these stones represent a miracle-working, all-powerful God. They represent a God who can crumble the walls of an entire city. They represent a God who simply speaks, and all things that around us that we see are created. Listen, these stones represent a God who came to this earth and who took on flesh and lived a sinless life here on this earth. They represent a God, listen, who took on flesh and died on a cross for our sins. But they also represent a God who didn't stay dead. A God who rose from the grave 3 days later. And I want you to understand that this memorial of stones was to represent the power of God. And yet the world in which we live in today needs to know about God's power. Just like those people living in Jericho needed to know of God's power. Listen, the world that we live in today needs to know of God's power. But you know what? They need to also know that God is a God of love. Because I'm reminded of a lady by the name of Rahab, who was living in the city of Jericho. And she looked to the God of Israel, and she saw that he was a God of power. She had heard the stories. And the Bible says she began to believe in the true God. And she found out that God would redeem her soul and her life. And when those walls of Jericho crumbled, and when those walls fell down flat, listen, God saved Rahab and the rest of her family because of her faith and trust in God. Here's what I want you to understand this morning. Listen, the devil wants our world to think that Jesus Christ is divisive. He wants our world to believe that Jesus Christ is the enemy. And I want you to understand that our world now more than ever needs to know of the power of God, but needs to know of the love of God as well, that God is a redeeming God. And listen, I want you to understand that the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. John chapter 10 tells us that he came to give us life and to give a life more abundantly. The world, when they would see this memorial of stones, it would represent an all-powerful, almighty God. When our world today sees our lives, which, by the way, are a memorial to God himself, we're not our own. It needs to represent an all-powerful God, but a God that is a God of love. And so we see, secondly, that not only was this memorial for the next generation, not only was it for all the people that were in the earth that time, but finally, this morning, this memorial was for them personally. It was for the children of Israel personally. Look at the end of verse 24. The Bible says there that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. You see, Joshua talks about the next generation for a while. And then he moves on to the enemy and the inhabitants of the earth. And finally, he brings it back to the children of Israel. And he says that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. That they wouldn't forget the power of God and what he did in this situation. That not only would it serve as a reminder to others, but listen, For those that went through the Jordan River that day, that walked across on dry ground, that said, this is incredible what God is doing, this miraculous thing that God is doing, that they might never forget what God did that day. Because understand this, they were getting ready to go into the promised land. They're getting ready to fight some enemies. They're getting ready to fight the battle of Jericho, and there's a mighty enemy that's standing before them. And listen, they need to remember that God parted the Jordan once before. And they need to remember that a long time ago, God parted the waters of the Red Sea. And listen, both of those seemed like an impossibility. So if God did that then, listen, what seems like an impossibility now? If God was able to part the Red Sea once, if God was able to part the Red Sea and the Jordan once, He certainly can do it again in my life. Listen, those children of Israel needed to realize that their God was not just powerful on that day, but their God would be continually powerful through every circumstance and through everything that they found themselves in. That making a path through a muddy river is no problem for God. You see, in the midst of living the Christian life, sometimes it's easy to forget the power of God, isn't it? Find yourself in the midst of a difficulty, a trial, something like that. But I want to remind you this morning, the greatest miracle God ever did was He took someone who was dead in their trespasses and sins, and He breathed into them spiritual life. It's the greatest miracle God has ever done when He saves a life. And yet I will remind you this morning, if you're here today and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, that means He's done the greatest thing He could ever do by giving you spiritual life. Now I ask you this, what else is impossible with God? What are you facing right now that seems impossible? He's already saved you. He's already given you new life. He's given you this miracle. What else is impossible with God? You see, here's a memorial back in our passage, Joshua chapter 4. A memorial of 12 stones to remember the power of God, to bring glory to God for all who would see it. And yet this morning, and I just want to apply this and we'll be finished. Listen, the point of this message is not for you to go home and go to the hardware store and buy 12 stones and put them in your front yard and build a memorial to God. Listen, God has not asked us to do that. And yet I'm reminded this morning that the new life we've been given by God through salvation, think about it this way, is to serve as a memorial to all those who see it of the goodness and power of God. The life that you live, the new life that you live, some of you can give testimony of being dead in trespasses of sins. I mean, as far gone. Some have said, listen, God couldn't love me because of all the things that I was involved in. And yet the new life that you've been given, guess what? It's a memorial to God. It's proof to the world that God is powerful, that God is mighty. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The Bible says in verse 19, a familiar passage of Scripture, He says this, He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? He says in verse 24, ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Understand this morning, if you're saved today, your life is no longer for yourself. Your life no longer is a memorial to yourself. You are no longer to project how great of a person you are. No, your life has been given to you to glorify God, so that when the next generation sees that, they might see that there's an all-powerful, almighty God. So that when the world sees that, they might see there's a powerful and there's an almighty God. So that when you see it in your own life, when you've seen the work that God does, you're reminded on the difficult days to praise God. Amen. Those days in which you think, this mountain in front of me seems impossible. Well, God's already saved you. And God's done this work in your life. And God's done that work in your life. You see, if you're saved this morning, you're building a memorial to God with your life. That's why it does matter how you act. It's why it does matter the type of clothes that you put on. It's why it does matter that you do what you're supposed to do, that you're obedient to God, because your life is no longer yours. You've been bought with a price. You're therefore to glorify God in your body. Amen. We're told in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Listen, I find if we'll follow the instructions there in that scripture, we won't have a whole lot of time to live for ourselves. If every day will be focused on loving God the way we ought to and pleasing God the way we ought to, listen, we won't have a whole lot of time to focus on pleasing ourselves and doing what we're not supposed to be doing, because we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. Listen, when our children see the memorial of our life, there ought to be no question whom we serve. Think about that. Whether it's our children or our grandchildren or nieces and nephews, the next generation. When they look at mom and dad, there ought never to be a question in their mind. I wonder if my dad really believes in God. I wonder if my mom really believes in God. There ought not to be a question in their minds, because they see so much of a memorial of our life to the glory and the power of God that there would never be a question. Listen, it ought to be so much so that when the world observes our life, whether it's a coworker or maybe a neighbor or a friend or a family member, when they look at your life, there ought not to be a question who it is you serve. It ought not to be that they look at them and say, "Well, I don't know. They say they go to church, but I just don't know." Listen, they may say something like this. They may say, "Well, I don't know that I believe in the God that they believe." But there's no doubt in their mind that they believe in the God that they say they believe. Their life is a living testimony to it. And it ought to be that on the days we might struggle in our own lives with a trial or a difficulty, we could look to the memorial of what God has already done in our lives through His saving power and through the work that He's doing and continuing to do in our lives on a daily basis, that we might look at something might seem like an impossibility, and yet we look at the memorial of our life and what God has already done, and we might see that and realize nothing is impossible with God. He can walk me through this trial. He can walk me through this difficulty. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Paul speaking to the Ephesian church. He says there in verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord." It's interesting language that he uses there, isn't it? A prisoner of the Lord. The idea that he wanted them to understand is that I am not in possession of my own life anymore. God is in possession of me. God has complete control of everything. And by the way, when you're in that position, you don't want to be anywhere else. Yeah. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord," look what he says, "beseech ye." He doesn't command them. He beseeches them. He says, "I beg that you would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." That word vocation, we often equate it to a job, something that we do. And Paul says, I want you to think in that mindset in terms of your Christian life. The fact that you are a follower of Christ. The fact that when other people see you and you say you're a Christian, you represent Christ. Now the question is asked, if I'm representing Christ, is my life representing His goodness and His power? Will those that see my life, will they know that I serve God, that I believe in God? Is it representative of the goodness of God and the power of God? You see, your life today is a memorial to something. You're bringing glory to someone or something as you live your life. As we look to the memorials of 9/11, listen, they serve to glorify those who we view as heroes, and they certainly are heroes. And I'm grateful that there have been those that have taken the expense and taken the time to memorialize their lives, because they ought to be remembered. But I want to ask you this morning, if you're a Christian today, is your life serving as a memorial to God? Are your actions bringing glory to God? You see, your life should point others to God. And so the question we ask ourselves this morning, are you doing that? A memorial to the power of God. In our passage, it was 12 stones that were built up, one representing each of the tribe of Israel, so that all the earth would know who the true God was. Your life today serves as a testimony and a witness to the memorial of God's goodness and His power. Are we doing that? Are we living our lives so that God would get the glory, so that others would see the power of God? Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I appreciate so much the way you've listened, and no doubt this is what God would have for us today, the message. And I think if we stop and think about it, we probably all have some work to do in these areas. But I wonder if maybe God's spoken to your heart today. Think about that. Think about the next generation that's coming behind us. In our world today, the next generation needs to know that there's an all-powerful, almighty God. Think about the people that you're around every day of the week, whether it's coworkers. They need to know that God is almighty. They need to know that God is all-powerful. And through your life, they can see the power of God, but also the love of God. And then in our own lives, we need to remember God's goodness and God's power, so that on the difficult days, we can look to that. Dear Lord, as we come before you, we are so thankful for your blessings. Thankful for the message that you've given to us today, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to apply it to each of our individual lives. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen.